Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today I am joined by Global Partnership Leader for Ashoka, Sumitra Pasupathi. Now, Ashoka, the world's largest network of change makers and social entrepreneurs, in partnership with Google's philanthropic arm, Google.org, recently released a report titled Technology and Humanity. We find out more about their findings and their efforts. Sumitra, welcome to the show.
Hi, Clarissa. Great to be on the show.
It's absolutely lovely to have you. Now, before we take that deep dive into the key findings of the Technology and Humanity report, let's start by breaking down social entrepreneurship. Help us understand what it is exactly and what it seeks to do.
Great. Yeah, sure. So a social entrepreneur is a member of society, of civil society, a citizen, a representative of the citizen sector who sees a problem and takes action to solve the problem, right? A social entrepreneur goes a little bit further than that. He tries deeply to understand the problem from a systemic perspective, tries to understand the root causes of the problem, and tries to come up with a model that is truly innovative and can drive large-scale change. And you have a vibrant, innovative ecosystem when you have a lot of social entrepreneurs present. And it's really about the individual and the approaches the individual takes, and less about the business model per se.
So it's a really fine balance that you have to strike as a social entrepreneur.
Yeah, sure. And a core skill of social entrepreneurs is developing deep empathy and understanding the root causes of the problem. As we were speaking earlier today, I'm a social entrepreneur and I'm really passionate about learning and education. And when you're trying to understand how to create young people of the future, a social entrepreneur has to be asking the right questions. It's not about learning better, but it's about what does this young person need for the future? So what you're really doing is you're asking deeper and harder questions that will benefit society and that will meet the root causes and needs of society.
All right. Now, social entrepreneurship's not new. It's in its third decade. We have seen a tremendous growth in demand and support for the field by bodies like the World Economic Forum over the past year, particularly. Why do you think that is?
Well, there are two major meta effects happening in the world, right? On one hand, we're seeing change come upon us at a very, very large scale. You know, when you and I were growing up, innovations were, you know, every 20, 30 years. It was a while before you went from black and white TV to color TV, you know, to digital, to DVDs, et cetera. We're now seeing hundreds of innovations in a year. The last 15 months demonstrated how fast the world came to a standstill because of the pace of change, how problems are interconnected, and how systems are quite fragile. So in that context, we need more solutions and we need more people asking the right questions and innovating and creating better solutions. So one is change, complexity, ambiguity, and the need for more innovation. The other side of the coin is also the fact that so many in Singapore were really, really focused in building an innovative city, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. More solutions. All parts of society is engaging in this, whether you're in business, the private sector, the public sector, the government sector, we're all driving for innovation. So in an ecosystem that is valuing innovation, we need more social entrepreneurs. They are the great provocateurs. They are the great inspiration into that ecosystem, and everybody wins. A good example is, I was just reading this up before this call. Before Airbnb, has become a a household name. It was a social entrepreneur named Casey Fenton who founded Couchsurfing and was one of the pioneers in the sharing economy. Very similarly, Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia. Do you remember the days when, you know, we used to have lovely Britannica encyclopedias in our house?
Oh, absolutely.
And we used to read these, you know, you get everything in physical form. And what did Jimmy Wales do? He said, hey, what would it look like if everybody could contribute knowledge and there could be peer-to-peer exchanges on a free platform for learning? So social entrepreneurs are also very critical, not only in providing solutions for problems, but also creating a thriving, innovative society and ecosystem, which I think is really important for Singapore today.
Absolutely. All right. Now, we're not quite out of the woods of COVID-19 yet, but during its height last year, Ashoka, together with Google.org, ran a six-month capacity-building program that benefited 28 nonprofits in Singapore, India, and Indonesia. Could you tell us more about the program and what it was that you were all trying to achieve?
Right. Great. There were so many different things we were trying to do. And to be honest, you know, when we originally designed the program, COVID was nowhere near our view, right?
Right.
But as we were about to roll out the program, COVID hit us. And through the generous support of Google.org, we were really able to support 28 nonprofit organizations in these three countries, really do three things. You know, the change that was happening in the ground was rapid, right? People were being affected by it in a very, very short time. And organizations that were servicing their beneficiaries were also affected in a very short time. So through the program, we were able to do three things. One is, you know, really convene these 28 organizations and take them through a capacity building program that helped them re-strategize, you know, where will they be going next? You know, businesses do this all the time. And this was the first time at this scale we were able to do this for the nonprofit organizations. And by re-strategizing and improving their solutions to their beneficiaries, that was one immediate impact that we were able to do through the program, this and enable peer-to-peer learning. The second thing we were able to do was really look at how we could fast-track the adoption of technology and technology-based solutions so that the organizations could continue their operations and continue their programs to the best of their abilities. 70% of the organization started picking up digital tools and improving their outreach to their beneficiaries. They had more sessions online, and they also got deeper understanding on the limitations of technology in terms of understanding ethical rights and data use, etc. They also learned modules in terms of fundraising through the use of technology. So the second thing was the use of technology. And the third thing is, you know, the work of a social entrepreneur or a nonprofit organization is incredibly hard. Most of their teams are incredibly small. Now, in this period of rapid change, the provision of mentors, advisors to the program was very critical for the 28 organizations. They all got matched up with volunteer mentors from corporate companies, Google, Kearney, and Accenture, who supported these organizations in providing weekly mentoring, but also they got to meet very senior corporate advisors to share their strategies and their plans moving forward. So for many, over 70% of the organizations have now pivoted and developed stronger plans to reach their beneficiaries. Many of them have strengthened their internal organizations. They've improved their impact measurement techniques, and strengthen their technology adoption.
We're speaking with Sumitra Pasupathi, a global partnership leader for Ashoka. One of the key components of the report was on barriers today that prevent the widespread impact of social entrepreneurship. I'm wondering, what are some of these barriers and how we can remove them and set in motion, you know, the true framework of change?
Beautiful question. Thank you very much for that, Clarissa. frankly, they need a seat at the table.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. Invite them for dinner. The reality is there's still not, we need more social entrepreneurs participating in the decision-making process, right? In companies, in policy, as well as in civil society. The field still lacks enough true collaboration and equal representation. So something like 28% of the social entrepreneurs who participated in the study, only 28% currently who participate in the study currently enjoy active participation. 50% anticipate a need for more collaborations with international foundations, policymakers, and technology corporations. And I think the insight into technology corporations and corporations in general was very powerful. That's an area where we've seen a large area of growth. And more access to funding and infrastructure support so that they are able to respond more effectively and drive a larger scale. Those are kind of the primary areas of the shifts that we see or the needs that we see from social entrepreneurs. Over time, with the use of technology, I think increasingly social entrepreneurs do want to deepen their use of technology, especially in the areas of community creation and the use of tools to deliver content. But at the same time, they are deeply keen to deepen their understanding on ethical use of data, data transparency, and overall attracting more talent to their organizations.
All right.
Is that, yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we've talked about some of the things that we can do. What personally do you think you can implement within your social entrepreneurship that will get you further along, I'm wondering, in what it is that you do?
Yeah. Thank you, Clarissa, for giving us that opportunity. So I co-founded Playam, an organization that really looks at booking, raising the status of children in society, mm-hmm. and seeing children as powerful. And we've been asking exactly that question the last, we went through a strategy exercise last year and this year, and we're recognizing that, you know, technology is going to be more prevalent. And the key question is, how do we support the system better? And where we ended up was really with teachers, right? With teachers, with the adults in the ecosystem, in the learning ecosystem. So in my organization, what we're doing, we're looking at how do we help teachers and parents redefine success, what success looks like, help teachers and parents envision, you know, what the future would look like and the type of learner that they want to support. So it's not marks and just exams and test results, but what is the holistic development of children and how do they create those experiences in school and at home to make that happen. And we believe that is, really critical to improve children's well-being, children's ability to learn, and children taking charge for the future. So working with adults in the system is our systemic approach for improving kids.
Children are sponges. So if you're talking about digitalization and how fast the pivots happen, get them learning all things digital, and they'll take us through to the future.
That's right. That's right. That's right. We found in the study 60% of our 28 nonprofit organizations were using technology. I think the key question is agency and power. Mm-hmm. If technology makes children powerful to take charge and create better solutions for the future, then I think we're right on the money. So agency matters. Solidarity matters, and creating a better world matters.
Absolutely. We've been speaking with Global Partnership Leader for Ashoka, Sumitra Pasupathi. Sumitra, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for the information.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. Stay with Money FM 89.3, Singapore's most influential radio station.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.